Good morning. Thank you for being here. I'm glad to see all of your faces, some that we missed last week, but we're very glad you're here. Some announcements. Celebrate Recovery continues to have their evening services turning point at Faith at 6 on Sundays. If you are able and want to have an evening service on Sundays, it's really nice. Trey does an awesome job with the praise and the worship on Sundays, but that starts at 6. We are going to start doing our Easter egg donation for our Easter egg hunt. That will be Saturday, March 30th, and volunteers to help us hide all the eggs. If you would want to be here at 10 to help us, 10 a.m. Saturday, March 30th, and then the Easter egg hunt starts at 11:30, and we'll do a luncheon and everything for the kids and the families that come on that Saturday. We also had a big donation. The Harvest Federal Credit Union has offered to fill some eggs for us, so I thought that was pretty fantastic. Yeah. So the Evans family got that hookup for us, so yeah, that's pretty awesome. But we're still going to take donations. We have about 12 special eggs that we hide. I say special, it's because we get the golden eggs. They get the golden ticket if they find a golden egg. And then we give them special gifts like basketballs, footballs. The neighborhood kids really love those. And also just some ways that we can tell them about the Easter story, the real Easter story. We'll get them storybooks and something to kind of go along with the story of Easter. So if anything that you can find that you want to donate to that, we'll take it. Yep, we do the Resurrection Bingo game, which is just another way for us to tell the kids the real Easter story. It's not about the bunny. It's about how, you know, Jesus came to give his life for us. And we do it in a form of a bingo game. So they get bingo cards. I love bingo. Like, any time that I get to play bingo, and we have, like, we'll call out, and for each picture, we tell the story of how that goes along with the Easter story. So if they get a donkey, we talk about the donkey and how the donkey is in the Easter story. So just things like that. So it is a lot of fun. So if you're able to come on March 30th, that's a Saturday, it is a lot of fun. So we invite you to be part of it. If you have never been part of it, it's a lot of fun, isn't it, Jade? You have a lot of fun. She was our big winner last year, and she shared her prizes with other kids that didn't get them. So that was really sweet. But yeah, she's special. Maverick is still in the hospital. They're weaning him off of the oxygen. Maverick is my nephew, by the way. Did you know I was the auntie? Have I told you yet that I was going to be an auntie? I don't know if I've mentioned it yet or not. But my sister and her husband, Jared, Maverick was born on the 7th of February, and he was a couple weeks early, and he was having some issues with his lungs. He wasn't able to take a deep breath and let his lungs expand. So he's loving where he's at. I mean, they said that that's normal for boys. Those rotten boys. Ugh. No. We love boys. But that's normal for boys at 37 weeks, is they get to a place, they get comfortable, and they just want to stay there. So Maverick is just wanting to stay where he is. But he has improved so much. He was at 40% needing oxygen when he was first born. And now he's down to like 1. I mean, but when he's without the little oxygen thing in his nose, he gets so worked up, and then his breathing starts getting erratic. I kind of told Julian, I said, have they tried to like just use the tape? Like just fake him out. Act like it's there, but it's not there. And she's like, yes, Haley, we've tried it. And I'm like, okay. But, you know, he's just at that spot. So I thank you so much for your prayers for Jillian and Jared and Maverick. They can't wait to be home. Jillian can't wait to get that baby home. And I have been the carrier between the hospital and their house or whatever they need. I've been the carrier. And I know the security guard. He knows when I come through, I'll just look, and he's like, Altoid box, Yes, that's in my purse. I set off the alarm every time. I don't take it out, but he knows when I come through. Other prayer requests, Beth Pryor. I know a lot of us, and I want to thank all of those that have taken the moments and time to go out and visit Beth. She's in hospice at the hospital, but thank you so much for going and visiting with her. I was able to sit with her on Friday, and she still gets responsive. You want to talk about her grandkids and how much love she has had and poured into her grandkids' lives. She still wants to respond, tries to respond to you. But again, continue to pray for Beth and her family, her grandkids especially. They're having a really hard time with her. She's about ready to meet Jesus, and it's just a matter of time. Continue to pray for Dave and Peggy Moore. Peggy had a procedure done this week, and trying to take care of Dave also. So continue to pray for them and reach out in ways that you can. If you can call, if you can send a letter, or go out and visit them, I know that would be very encouraging to them. Are there any other prayer requests? Our little miracle sitting back there, Bradley and Cindy. Thank you. We're glad to see you here very much. They took a trip yesterday, and it looked pretty fantastic. You always post good food pictures, too. I love it. Whenever you go places, I'm like, oh, that looks really good. I want to go there. Your little one, your 10-year-old, what's his name? Grayson. Keep him in our prayers. And you? Yeah, Tina. Bobby's on his way to recovery, so continue to pray for Bobby. He was here last week. I did pray over him when he came forward to get the imposition of the ashes, so we had a moment together. So we're looking forward to when God starts a good work, he is always faithful in completing it. Amen. Amen? So we're going to pray over that, over Bobby, so that we'll be able to see that into completion.
And Tyler.
And Tyler. Thank you. Yeah, and Tyler. Absolutely. That is praise. This time of year, it gets rough for people that suffer with depression. So we'll lift that up in prayer as well. Yeah, Wayne. I didn't know that. I'm sorry to hear that, Bonnie, and our loss of her sister. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and preparation for our worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We come with thanksgiving and praise that we're able to join together in this body to praise and worship you, Lord, and that we are able to share one another's burdens, that we're able to depend on the prayers of our family here at Faith Church. And I thank you so much for those prayers, not only for myself and my family, but for those that are within this church, Lord. We've seen so many miraculous signs and wonders from our prayer warriors that we can depend on to lift us up in prayer, Lord. And I know that your word says that your church is to be a house of prayer. And so we are so thankful for those that are faithful, that lift us up, that lift up prayers to you, and that we know because you have given us this faith that you are such a God that intervenes in our lives, that you see us, you touch us while we're still on this side of heaven. And we thank you so much, and we just pray over all the names, all the concerns that have been lifted up to you this morning, Father God, that you will cover each and every one with your love, and you pull them closer to you with your grace, Lord. Those that are needing comforted, those that are mourning through loss, Lord, that they find the peace that surpasses all understanding through you, Lord, and that comfort that they need. And all those that are in need of healing, Lord, we pray that you be with the doctors, the nurses, and all those that are taking care of our loved ones, that they are able to use the gifts you've given them to bring about the healing that they seek and the answers that they need, Lord. And those that are in recovery, Bobby and Tyler, we thank you so much that you have set them on that path, Lord. We thank you, and we just lift them up to you that they're able to see you through it, that they stand on your word, that you've paid the price for them on the cross to break those chains of bondage, Lord. We just pray that over them, and that they're able to feel it, they see it, and they know it in their soul, in their heart, in their mind. And all those other requests, Lord, that we may be keeping in our heart that you see and you know, again, we just pray for your mercy. We pray for your grace in it. And those that are needing a messenger, that you send them a messenger with a word to lead them closer to you, Father God. And now as we enter this time of worship and praise this morning, I ask that you anoint the praise band as they lead us into this time of worship and praise. We just thank you so much that they share every week with us their gifts that you have given them, Lord, and that our praise is a sweet, sweet fragrance in your holy courtroom, Lord, that you hear it and you see it, and it gives you so much joy because we come with our hearts full. We come giving you this sacrifice of praise. But I ask that you bless each and every member of this praise band and all those hands that have worked to the work of your service this week, Lord. Be with Paul as he gives us the message this morning. We thank you for the word that you've placed in him, and let us catch every word. Let nothing fall void. Let it be written on our hearts so that when we leave this place, we leave full of the Holy Spirit and the message that you've given us, so that we may go out of this place and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And in this we pray all these things. Amen. And we're going to sing it like we mean it this morning, right, church? We don't just say it. It is to the Lord. Amen. And our greeting comes from Mark 1, verses 12 through 13, and Hebrews 2:14. The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and angels took care of him, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood. The Son also became flesh and blood. For only as human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, he who had the power of death. Amen. We don't have to look too far out of this room to see how great our God is. Amen. We have evidence, walking, living, breathing testimonies of how great our God is. Amen. Father, we come before you, giving you gifts, our tithes, our offerings. Not that you need anything from us, but that you call us. You give us this desire within our hearts and our spirits to give back to you what you have just lavished our lives with, the blessings that you have given us. And so we pray over these offerings this morning, Lord. We pray over them that you would do with them what only you can do, Lord. You multiply them only the way that you can multiply them, so that Newark Faith Church can continue the ministry work that you have called us to do, that we continue to build your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and we get anybody who wants to hear the good news, the salvation through Jesus Christ, to transform their lives. That's our mission. That's the mission that you've given us. And I just pray that we continue to have that desire to go out and spread that good news of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our little devotional this morning, it says, God's invitations. It's from Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. It says, following Jesus. As they were traveling on the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus told him, foxes have dens, birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. Lord, he said, just let me go and bury my father. But he told him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the news of the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but just let me go and say goodbye to those at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And it says, God offers three invitations to every person he created. We are invited to receive Jesus and become a child of God. And it says in John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent, but of the will of the flesh, or to the will of man, but of God. The Lord calls us to receive Him as our Savior and to have a personal relationship with Him through the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. And this invitation includes laying down the burden of trying to work out our salvation ourselves. Instead, Christ invites us to trust Him to do the transforming work in us. Because there's nothing that we would be able to do to earn our salvation. It is all the work of the Lord and His Holy Spirit working within us and through us. To abide in Jesus. Abiding means listening to God speak through His scripture. When we abide in Him, He promises that He is going to abide within us. Living and growing dependence on Him, knowing Him more intimately and drawing upon His power in order to live a godly life. And number three, to follow Jesus. In order to follow the Lord, we must be familiar with His character, with His plans. You got to know who you're following. If you're going to be dedicated to know without a doubt that He is a good God, that He is going to be with you no matter what, you got to know what kind of God you are serving. The evidence that we are following Him will appear in our attitude, in our conduct, in our character, in our conversation, and in our relationships. Sometimes I have a bit of a problem with that. Sometimes my character, sometimes I want to throw a spiritual fit. Just like a 2-year-old, I want to throw a fit, and I don't want to do it. I want to do my own thing, but He is faithful, and He always pulls me back in and be like, girl, get it together. You know that you're one of my kids. Snap out of it. That's not how you're supposed to be. God loves every individual He created. Every person that comes into your life, every person you meet at the grocery store, every person that's driving slower than Moses in front of you, is created in the image of God. And sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we forget that. And though the gift of salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit, He who enables us to abide in Jesus and follow Him. This is the path to the joy and the contentment God had planned for us. Amen. And this is something to reflect on through this journey through Lent. Being our invitations to receive Jesus, to abide in Jesus, and to follow Jesus. Amen. So let's prepare our hearts for receiving His word with, this is my Bible. This is my Bible. It contains the word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you on this first Sunday in Lent to ask for your guidance. Help us come closer to you this year than ever before. Help us to use this time to focus on our one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. And help us to learn more about your love through this Lenten journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture today is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 12, talks about true fasting. And it starts like this. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have they fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have they humbled ourselves, and you have not, and exploit all your workers? Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed or for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is this what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the kind of fasting you have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry or to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your might will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called repairer of the broken walls, restorer of the streets with dwellings. So what's Lent really all about? I thought I'd share this with you. Lent is a Christian season of spiritual preparation before Easter. In Western churches, it begins with Ash Wednesday. During Lent, many Christians observe a period of fasting, repentance, moderation, self-denial, and spiritual discipline. The purpose of the Lenten season is to set aside time for reflection on Jesus Christ, to consider his suffering and his sacrifice, his life, death, burial, and resurrection. During the 6 weeks of self-examination and reflection, Christians who observe Lent typically make a commitment to fast, or to give up something, a habit like smoking, watching TV, swearing, or a food or drink, such as sweets, chocolates, or coffee. Some Christians also take on a Lenten discipline, like reading the Bible or spending more time in prayer to draw nearer to God. Strict observers of Lent do not eat meat on Fridays, often opting for fish instead. The goal of these spiritual disciplines is to strengthen the faith of the observer, and to develop a closer relationship with God. The 40-day period of Lent is based on two episodes of spiritual testing in the Bible. The 40 years of the wilderness wandering by the Israelites after the Exodus from Egypt, and the temptation of Jesus after he spent 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. In the Bible, the number 40 holds special significance in the measurement of time, and many other important events revolve around it. During the flood, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses fasted on the mountain for 40 days and nights before God gave the Ten Commandments to him. The spies went 40 days in the land of Canaan. The prophet Elijah traveled for 40 days and nights to reach the mountain of God in Sinai. Lent in the Western Christianity, Ash Wednesday marks the first day or the start of the Lenten season, which begins 40 days prior to Easter, typically 46, because they don't count Sundays. Officially named Day of Ashes, the exact date changes every year because Easter and its surrounding holidays are immovable feasts. Lenten and Eastern Orthodox. The spiritual preparations begin with Great Lent, a 40-day period of self-examination and fasting, including Sundays, which starts on Clean Monday, culminates on Lazarus Saturday. Ash Wednesday is not observed. Clean Monday falls 7 weeks before Easter. The term Clean Monday refers to cleansing from sinful attitudes through the Lenten fast. Lazarus Saturday occurs 8 days before Easter Sunday and signifies the end of Great Lent. Not all Christian churches observe Lent. Lent is mostly observed by the Lutheran, the Methodist, the Presbyterians, the Anglicans, denominations, and also by Roman Catholics. Eastern Orthodox churches observe Lent or Great Lent during 6 weeks or 40 days preceding Palm Sunday, with fasting continuing through Holy Week. The Bible does not mention the custom of Lent. However, the practice of repentance and mourning in ashes is found in Samuel, Esther, Job, Daniel, and also Matthew. The account of Jesus' death on the cross or crucifixion, his burial and his resurrection or raising from the dead can be found in the following passages of Scripture in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Early Christians felt the importance of Easter called for special preparations. The first mention of the 40-day period of fasting in preparation for Easter is found in the Canaanites in Nicaea. It is thought that the tradition may have grown from early church practice of baptismal candidates undergoing a 40-day period of fasting in preparation for their baptism at Easter. Eventually, the season evolved into a period of spiritual devotion for the whole church. During the initial centuries, the Lenten fast was a very strict but relaxed over time. Our next scripture today is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Psalms. This is the Psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. It is David's humble prayer of forgiveness. David, as a sinner, repents out loud for his sins. Verses 10 through 12, you'll find very familiar to most Christians. Psalm 51, 1 through 17 reads, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with the hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear your joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your way so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Savior. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You did not delight in sacrifice or you would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise." We now turn from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Jesus teaches about so many different things to the crowd when delivering the Sermon on the Mount, beginning with the Beatitudes, but touching on so many topics like giving to the needy and prayer, fasting, storing up treasures in heaven, but not here on earth. So Matthew 6, 1 through 6, and then 16 through 21 reads, "Give to the needy. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with the trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their full reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Prayer. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Fasting. "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." treasures in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermins do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So as we enter this Lenten season, we need to think about how we want or need God to mold us. Jeremiah 18:6 states, "Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand." There is something inherently painful in realizing that God is working on us. There is something about us that doesn't quite please Him or fit in His purpose. It hurts when we think we fall short. But as our great potter, God, sees the process differently, He works on us because He sees potential in us and has something important in mind for our lives. It is actually a great honor because He continuously molds us into the image of His Son, giving us an appearance that is unmistakably His, with increasing faith, capacity for His wisdom, power, and endurance. In other words, the Father applies this discipline to our lives, not out of anger or frustration, but out of His unconditional love and wonderful vision of our place in His kingdom. It isn't something we should fear. Rather, we should embrace it, making us more worthwhile, valuable, and effective. So don't grow frustrated as God molds you. Instead, ask Him to show you what He is forming in you. Accept His leadership and grow stronger in Him. Allow God to mold you this Lenten season so we can truly come closer to Him. Our final scripture today is from 1 Peter 3, verses 18 through 22. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteousness, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, He went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels and authorities and powers in submission to Him." This is the first week of Lent, the first Sunday in Lent, a preseason preparation and reflection leading to Easter. Two sets of stories from the life of Christ are often emphasized during the season. There are stories of Christ's temptation in the wilderness, and there are wonderful stories about Holy Week, the final week before the resurrection. During the season of Lent, some of the featured hymns in the site will focus on each of the three temptations, some on the stories from Holy Week and some from the lectionary passages. While He was in the wilderness, Christ was first tempted to change stones to bread. Christ responded with Scripture, declaring, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." People have long known the pleasures of fine meals and feasts. These are temporal, though. The best we can hope for is to enjoy in His life's pales when compared to the feast that awaits us in God's heavenly kingdom. This week's featured hymn is a thoughtful reflection on communion, written by Horatius Bonner. Listen carefully and prayerfully to the words of this hymn. "Hear, O my Lord, I see Thee face to face. Here would I touch and handle things unseen. Here grasp with firmer hand eternal grace, and all my weariness upon Thee lean. This is the hour of banquet and of song. This is the heavenly table spread for me. Here let me feast, and feasting still prolong the hallowed hour of fellowship with thee. Here would I feed upon the bread of God. Here would drink with thee the royal wine of heaven. Here would I lay aside each earthly load. Here taste afresh the calm of sin forgive. The last two verses, I don't want to sing because I want you to hear the words. Too soon we rise, the symbols disappear, the feast, though not the love, is past and gone. The bread and wine remove, but thou art there, nearer than ever, still my shield and sun. Feast after feast thus comes and passes by, yet passing points to the glad feast above, giving sweet foretaste of the festival joy. The Lamb's great bridal feast of bliss and love. In his preparation for ministry, Christ fasted, giving up the pleasures that can distract us from closer relationship with the Father. It was then, when Christ hungered for food, that Satan sought to take advantage of his weakness in Christ's frail human body. For Christ, the temptation was a choice between physical and spiritual needs. He demonstrated his choice in his words and his actions. We too can now feast, which brings love and power and redemption. But only when we have learned to follow Christ's examples and truly crave the Word of God as our source of life. May the words of this week's hymn and the inner peace that we experience on this first Sunday in Lent inspire us to guide us to focus on spiritual things, even as we minister to the physical needs of those around us. This week's featured hymn focused on the bread from heaven, not on the stones of this earth. This is a solid message to begin the Lenten season. Amen? This Lenten season, take time to search yourself. It's not all about giving up something. If you didn't or haven't, that doesn't mean anything. But I like the other side of that. Take more time with Him. Read more about Him in your Bible. Connect with Him in every way, in every manner that you can. For this season is for us. Jesus Christ came to this world to fulfill the promise of eternal life. Without Him in our lives, it's not possible. So take time to get closer to Him so that we have that opportunity to tell others about Him. Bring them also to Him for that eternal life. Amen. Have a blessed week.